For reasons unknown, Voodoo Queen Marie Laveau refused to provide service any longer to Madame Delphine Lanleray. Some say it was over a payment dispute. Others say the magic Marie had taught to the Lady Lanleray. There was a spreading rumor that Marie had even cursed the home of the Lanlerays, displeased with how the voodoo arts were being used there. It was in early October when servants that worked in the mansion reported screams from upstairs on the third floor. There was Madame Lanleray's voice, elevated and agitated, screaming at one of her female slaves. Shortly thereafter, there was a blood-curdling scream, a thud in the garden behind the house, and when servants rushed to investigate, they discovered the lifeless body of a young Creole servant lying dead on the ground. Madame Lanleray explained she was disciplining the young girl when she slipped and fell over the balcony railing. But secretly, among the other slaves of Lanleray House, there were many unspoken concerns. Less than a month had passed, and an air of silence had fallen on the house of Lanleray. The gay social gatherings had ceased, and some said Madame Lanleray had become a different woman. She would frequently disappear to her attic workshop, where it was said she was indulging in the darkest of black arts, casting spells and creating powerful charms and potions. The slaves were no longer allowed on the third floor. Master Lanleray had been leaving the mansion more frequently, traveling for several days on end, and Madame Lanleray would spend her endless hours behind those closed doors, but not alone. Caspin the cook, an older slave long in the employ of the Lanlerays, knew in her heart there was something dark and sinister about the mansion and the things that went on there. She, more than any other, knew many of her fellow slaves had disappeared, mysteriously. And being the only slave with a room inside the mansion proper, she could often hear the moans and screams coming from that attic office. And she knew something terrible was taking place behind those doors. It was late one evening in balmy May when Caspin the cook intentionally set fire to one corner of the kitchen, causing smoke to bellow out the open windows and doors of the lower floors. Upstairs, in her magical workshop, Delphine Lollaret was tending to her dark arts and unaware of the development down below. Caspin had reasoned if there was a fire, the local fire brigade might be given the opportunity to enter the mansion. And once inside, Caspin could direct their attention to the upstairs attic, where, at last, someone could see what was happening behind those closed doors. By the time Fire Captain Felix Lamont reached the Lollaret home, smoke was billowing out the back windows of the first floor. The balmy air was filled with the smell of trouble.
Open up, fire brigade! Open up inside! Your home is on fire!
Come this way, please! There's a fire in the kitchen. Two, maybe three men can put it out. But I need for the captain to see the fire in the attic, at the top of the stairs.
There's a fire in the attic?
The fireman looked up the wide staircase and back at the cook. Caspin looked up the stairs and back at the captain of the fire brigade.
And hurry! Break the door down! Just be careful what you find inside.
What transpired over the next anxious moments has put a scar on New Orleans history and has plagued 1140 Royal Street for generations. As Captain Felix Lamont rushed to the top of the stairs carrying his axe, with Police Inspector Henry McMurtry in tow, he spotted the heavy wooden door directly across from the landing and immediately could hear human sounds beyond. There were whisperings, a woman crying, and there was moaning, the moaning that haunted the captain for the remainder of his years. Placing his hand on the door, it was cold and damp and locked from the inside, and beat the door until he created an opening large enough to slip his hand through and pull open the metal bolt on the other side. The door immediately swung inward, and what the fireman and inspector saw was a scene reserved for the stages and halls of hell. There were bodies lying in the floor, slumped in chairs, shackled from the ceiling, stretched beyond physical endurance. Some were dismembered, missing a hand or foot, in some cases sporting a limb that had been removed and crudely sewn back on the body.
Holy Mother Mary, Captain. What has happened here?
And a few were seriously wounded and suffering from most cruel and diabolical torture. Some of the bodies were hooked up to some type of strange instrument. Genitals had been severed or removed, and it was evident these helpless and tormented souls had been subjected to the most horrible acts of wickedness. A few had missing eyes or ears, and most of the living, what few remained, were altogether senseless and mindless. Delphine Lollaret was nowhere to be seen. The room was empty except for the horrible tragedy of its victims. But there were signs, evidence, a cauldron boiling in the corner where human parts could be seen floating in a smoldering, musky liquid. There were bottles and vials and packages on the shelves and sitting in open cupboards and countertops. Black candles dripped their molten wax upon the blood-stained floor. The smell of decaying flesh was undeniable, and the inspector could no longer hold back his dinner. A second fireman rushed to the top of the stairs and joined the duo standing at the door of death. And before long, commissioners began arriving, detectives, politicians, all wanting to see firsthand the butchery of Delphine Lollaret and the horror inside.
Holy Mother of Mary.
Sometime during the ordeal, Madame Delphine had managed to flee the house before being trapped inside, wearing little more than a cowl and a wrap to hide her naked body. It was learned later that when she performed her heinous crimes, she did so stripped down to nothing but a golden amulet that hung from a heavy chain around her neck. Some say she fled to the shores of Lake Pontchartrain, where many of the voodoo elite are said to still gather in the swamps and forests to perform their rituals of magic. Others believe the incident itself came to an end because Madame Marie Laveau herself, the voodoo queen, had cast that spell to bring the Lawleray dynasty down, ending a reign of terror and bloodshed in the famous French Quarter. For even the Dark Queen of New Orleans magic could not tolerate such unobstructed violence and evil haunting the streets and people of the magical Crescent City. As for the infamous mansion Lawleray, it still stands on Royal Street in the French Quarter of New Orleans today, having changed owners often over the course of its 200-plus years. It seems to be a place where no tenant, resident, visitor, or owner can ever come to terms with the lingering horror that may still walk the hallways of that eerie building. In the 21st century, there are still reports of screams and moans that can be heard from the top floor. More than just a few still say that the woods near the lake are still haunted by Delphine Lawleray herself, who still leads the darkest of souls in ritual and ancient magic in the swamps of southern Louisiana. Our advice? Enjoy the music of Bourbon Street. Dance to the music of New Orleans jazz and blues. Taste the flavors of Mardi Gras and stroll the parks and museums of this remarkable city. But curtail your desire to delve into the dark and mysterious. For many things still happen in the Big Easy that are unexplained. Enjoy your visit, but most of all, stay clear of the mansion Lawleray
after dark.
Marie Laveau, the Voodoo Queen, and Delphine Lalaurie, the Devil's Wife, is an original production of MindQuest Radio. Thanks for joining us this All Hallows Eve special, Theater of the Mind. This and other programs are available on demand at janus.soundfuturesdirect.com. The MindQuest radio players include Lisa Truitt, Sydney Szymanski, Teresa Ong, Kyle Landwalker, Sally Autumn, Kevin Cook, Carla Land, and yours truly, Jim Wilson. Narration from Logan Hawks and original music score from Janus. Happy Halloween from MindQuest Radio.